6:45, quarter till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking Ted Rossman, our friend, Bankrate Senior Industry Analyst. 6:45, quarter till 7. Tell me what you've... Good morning, Ted, first of all, and welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell me what you found about, what Bankrate has found about holiday travel and inflation.
83% of holiday travelers are making adjustments because of inflation. People are doing things like traveling for fewer days, picking cheaper accommodations, and driving instead of flying. In other words, they still want to go on the trip, but they're cutting corners to save money.
Have you seen the movie Four Christmases?
Yes, I have.
So I'm just wondering, as I saw this story, I was wondering about travel. Is it travel to vacation destinations? Is it travel to over the woods and through the hills and all that crap to grandma's house?
It's all the above. I would theorize that a lot of it is the classic home for the holidays, and it's one of the reasons why I believe younger adults face a larger cost burden. We see that Gen Zers and millennials are more stressed about the cost of holiday travel. And that's likely because those 20 and 30 somethings are the ones who are going home to mom and dad's or grandma and grandpa's, and maybe they're bringing their own kids in tow. A lot of times that holiday travel burden falls on the younger adults.
So when it comes to the budget that they have, I guess I'm thinking if they're going home to see mom and dad, or if my kid comes home to see me, they stay at home. They don't, other than gas to drive or airfare, I don't know what they would have to spend. Where does that fit in all of this?
Yeah, these are averages that are blending everything. So different household sizes, different types of trips. For those who are flying for Thanksgiving or Christmas, the average per household is about $1,000. Again, though, that could be, you know, larger families bumping up some of the cost. Same thing for hotels and short-term rentals. For those staying in one for Thanksgiving or for those staying in one around Christmas and New Year's, that too is around $1,000 on average per family. So if you're doing all four, it's an average of about $4,000. Now, you're right, not everybody is spending that much. Actually, surprisingly few people are flying for the holidays. It's only about 1 in 10. But those who are often spending a lot. It's kind of just one more thing. You know, that's one of the key findings here, is that it's not just travel prices that are high. Travel prices have actually stabilized or even come down in some cases, but it's everything else. It's like this is one more thing on top of higher housing costs and higher grocery bills and higher everything bills. And that's really why inflation is straining people. It's that cumulative effect.
And presents, right? You got to get presents.
Yep, 1 in 3 holiday shoppers are making changes because of inflation. So I thought that was notable, that the cutbacks are more clear on travel. Maybe we are starting to hit the end of this revenge travel thing. You know, it surprised me ever since the pandemic. I understood 2022 was going to be a huge year for travel and things reopening. Last year topped it, though, according to the TSA checkpoint numbers. This year is topping it again. We don't normally see this when people are worried about the economy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though a lot of the economic data has been pretty good, sentiment has been bad the past several years. Inflation's been straining people, and yet they've still been spending robustly on discretionary things like travel and dining and concert tickets. And I would attribute a lot of that to this you only live once thing that developed during and after the pandemic. But maybe we're starting to find our limit here, because travel demand has not been as strong the past few months as it was in the past few years.
You only live once, Ted, but it's going to seem a lot longer when you're trying to pay off that credit card. Am I right?
And that is leading to some adjustments. Yeah, I mean, the fact that credit card balances are at record highs, credit card rates are still close to record highs, even though they've come down a little bit. A lot of people have dipped into savings. Now, maybe what seemed like a good idea a year or two ago now is maybe feeling like a bit of a splurge too far. People do still want to go on the trip, but like I said, they're making changes that, you know, almost everybody is making some sort of change owing to inflation. And it's not just this kind of blank check for travel anymore, like I'm going to spend whatever it takes to go wherever I want to go. It's like, I still want to go, but I'm willing to cut back here and there and save a little money.
I got some more inflation questions for you when we come back, Ted. Also, I want to talk about the reactive nature of the airline industry, and you know, if they don't sell a seat, they don't. That's money lost forever, right? Like an empty seat at a concert. So I just wonder how much less demand on air travel means that prices come down. But then if people start chasing those seats, do the prices go up again? 6:50, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 6:55 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Tuesday morning, October 22nd. Beautiful sunrise, got some cotton candy clouds off on the horizon. Ted Rossman, our guest, Bankrate senior industry analyst, talking about holiday travel and the effects of inflation on that. More than 4 in 5 holiday travelers are changing their plans due to inflation, according to Bankrate. How reactive is the airline industry, Ted, when it comes to demand? Because I guess I'm thinking from the business standpoint, if I have a flight and I got an empty seat on it, that's money I'll never get back. And I guess you could factor in weight and fuel and all that stuff. But do airlines tend to drop prices for seats that aren't booked? But then if people start chasing those, is it like a dog chasing its tail where the prices go up again?
They've been behind the curve a little bit. They were slow to ramp back up when the post-pandemic travel boom happened. So they were behind in 2021 and 22, and that led to a lot of operational disruptions. Like, you know, flights were delayed or canceled because the crew and the equipment weren't there. That's gotten better, but now they've actually oversupplied a little bit, and that's been a drag on profitability. That's something that airlines have been talking about on recent earnings calls, that they've actually been trying to cut back some of their supply a little bit and better calibrate it with demand, because demand's been good, but it started to tail off. So it's always a bit of a delicate balance. Around the holidays, though, I expect full planes, and I would not expect a last-minute deal for holiday travel. For a busy period like that, it's better to book sooner, not later. It's already pretty late for Thanksgiving travel bookings. Even for Christmas, it's getting late. I would say jump on that as soon as you can.
Let me ask you about inflation, generally speaking, if I may. You know, I see these commercials on television, and bear with me if you can, while I lay a foundation here, Ted. You know, you see beautiful actresses or actors on TV, depending on whatever, and it's like, man, I wish I could date them or whatever it is. And then you realize, well, that's not never going to happen. It's just TV, right? It's fiction. But when it comes to commercials and products, I think people sometimes lose sight of the fact that not everybody can afford everything, and that explains the massive credit card debt. And I just wonder how people buying things that they can't afford leads to inflation, and if people would just kind of live within their means, how that might be a problem that would take care of itself. Thoughts?
What's been so difficult about inflation is that it's hit lower-income people the hardest. You know, people that have less slack they can cut from their budget. These are not necessarily people who are going on expensive vacations or, you know, spending a lot on discretionary items, but it's more just the everyday. You know, this has highlighted a lot of inequalities in the economy where, you know, inflation's been an annoyance for everybody, but it's been more of an inconvenience for upper-income households and really more of a crisis for lower-income. When people get into credit card debt, surprisingly, it tends to be practical causes. Emergency expenses are number one. So that's your unexpected car repair or medical bill or something like that. And then second place is day-to-day expenses. That comes in well ahead of vacations and discretionary spending. It's kind of surprising.
I guess I'm wondering about people living beyond their means, because I see so many, you know, cars now being financed for 10 or 12 years, which to me is just crazy. But maybe I'm old school, and I just wonder if really, I don't know. It just seems like if you're financing a car for 10 years, you're going to be putting more new repairs halfway through while you're still paying for the car. That doesn't seem like a good, stable plan. Thoughts?
Those longer-term car loans are a big issue. Yeah, I mean, we're seeing more and more people financing those for 7 years or longer. That costs you a ton of money in interest. It can keep you underwater on the loan for a while. I would try to finance for no more than 4 or 5 years if you can.
And any need for regulation on that, or what do you think? Just let the market decide?
It may be one of those market will bear kind of things. You know, what's tricky is that the longer you go, the more affordable the monthly payment. Mm. So that sounds good to people, but it's that total interest expense that really gets you.
And repairing it while you're still paying for it. Thank you.